You may have heard that most people who are black have O blood type. O is commonly needed for emergencies, but did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? Regardless of blood type, every day our blood saves lives and eases the pain of those living with sickle cell. Donate blood at Red Cross to help us save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
You know that I feel like it's important to express yourself. You got to put your true self out there. And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do that.
That's right. Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know it doesn't get any more comfortable than the Croc clogs and sandals. They are just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Like, say I want to see what you're doing and who you're hanging with, and you're not posting about it on your story. I can just stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. You do that?
No, I don't do that. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages and keep it between friends, and then use that money to buy something at a store with Apple Pay.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Maybe.
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
There's power in every purchase, because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one, to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
Everybody loves a game night.
That's a fact. However, I feel like I have not been a part of a game night that doesn't turn hostile at some point.
Deadass.
Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention, we're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now. So, you know, I was thinking this time around for this show, you know, it'd be cool to do something kind of laid back. It's an evening session.
Yes.
You know, game night is typically my thing to do when we get together with our friends, our homies. So I was
typically thinking, we got alcohol, though. We don't got no alcohol.
Right. That's the only thing missing from the scenario right now. But you know what? I don't even need no alcohol, you know, because our guest today is so lit that he's a whole ass drink in himself, right? What you think? So today we have a special guest on the show, someone whose personality is so big that we couldn't just, you know, ask him questions and do a corny ass interview.
No.
We got to switch it up for y'all so that we can bring the fullness of that who is Kid Fury to Deadass, all right?
I'm with it.
How y'all feeling about that?
I'm with it.
So if you're not familiar, if you've been under like a whole ass rock for mad long, Kid Fury is a comedian and co-host of the wildly popular podcast, The Read, along with Crystal West.
The first podcast to ever put us out there.
Oh, I got a few words to say about that.
They shouted us out very first before anybody else. Yes.
That's a fact.
Yes.
The podcast features a queer black perspective on pop culture, politics, life advice, everything in between, which has helped it establish a cult following.
Yes.
All right. So Kid is known for his witty commentary, your quick responses to current issues. So today our producers put together a cool little game night for us. What's up, Kid? I'm so happy to see your face, even
Listen,
if it's just virtually.
I'm so happy to do this. I love seeing y'all do literally anything. You know, I've been such a big fan of y'all and the fam for such a long time. So Whenever you call, I'll be there.
Yo.
Like I want to say you're a day one. Thank you so much.
You've been a day one since before, I think, before I had 100,000 followers. I remember when I started posting more consistently, people was like, yo, The Read shouted y'all out. And I was like, The Read? And they was like, yo, it's a podcast. And at this time, I hadn't even known what a podcast was. Yeah, this was going into 2018. Mm-hmm. It was going into 2018. And I was like, I don't know what the podcast is. And then you asked us to come on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on the podcast and I was like, yo, this is wow. Like, I had no idea all of this existed.
It's a whole vibe.
But you mentioned us and my following just started to grow. People come and look at my videos. So we appreciate you, bro.
Yes, we
appreciate
Chrissy too. We are forever in debt to you and Crystal The Read for even giving us that platform. No, I promise you, I literally think about you all the time. You know, I'll send you a little DM every now and again to be like, bro, I just appreciate you. I'm checking on you because I really feel like you guys kind of paved the way for us.
Absolutely.
For sure. So y'all been doing a damn thing. We're proud of you.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, because you got some things going too, though. You got some things going too. You just solidified a deal with Issa Rae.
He was stalking you.
Yeah, I was stalking you. Talk a little bit about it. Talk a little bit about it.
Tell us.
Comedy album. Talk about it.
Yeah. So Issa has a record label called The Radio. And she's also just been one of those creators that's been incredibly supportive, like forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so she approached us maybe 2019, like it was definitely before the pandemic and shit. And she was like, listen, I would love to do it like a comedy album with you guys. And we sat down with her and Benoni, her partner over at The Radio, and started conceptualizing some stuff. And we started recording. We have a lot more stuff to do for it. It's gonna be a very interesting and unique project, more than just comedy. Mm-hmm. I don't wanna say too much because I don't know if I can. It's been a lot of fun so far and got a lot more to work on for it. So hopefully it'll be out soon. I think we're shooting for this year or something.
That's good. Does it feel good to have your toe?
It's going
to
be fun.
Does it feel good to have your hands in a different pot other than the podcast? Because I know that you have a wealth of talent. So how does it feel to be doing something different outside of the podcast realm?
I don't know. It's almost like... It's like a meal that you really like, but someone else prepared for you. And you're just like, I know I really like wings, but let me see what flavor it is that you got.
Yeah.
You know, like it's familiar, but it's also really exciting because the format is new and the way that we're building it is new. And we have like new perspective and stuff from the radio team. So it's exciting because it's like, what we have been doing, but in a fun new way with the resources and stuff. So I'm excited to
present it. That's what's up.
That is dope.
It's cool to see millennials be successful and then broaden their horizon on what they can do to be successful. Because now I hear parents, parents will say, oh, what you want to be when you grow up? A influencer, a podcaster,
a YouTuber.
And a YouTuber. And kids are like, yes, they make like a lot of money. Right. Like that's like a legitimate living.
There's bags out there.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's good to see you guys.
Love that.
Yeah.
No, of course. Absolutely.
Because I remember being like, when I was starting out on YouTube at like 19 or something like that, and I'm living in my Jamaican ass household and trying to explain to my parents. My mother was always like, I don't get it, but I see you have passion. So like, I get it. I'll support you. And my father was like, he had more questions. Like, what is YouTube? How is this sustainable? Are you sure? And I had to like back it up. You know what I mean? Like I had to really put in the work and back it up. And finally, when stuff started to pay off, now, you know what I mean? I feel like there are more, like the generation after us will likely have more people that would be like, yeah, I completely understand why you would want to make money on social media or YouTube or something like that. Because I get how that works.
Yeah,
I guarantee you they're going to have college courses on YouTubing, on podcasting, on influencing. I guarantee it. And they're probably going to do case studies on like you guys, if this is where they started and this is what they did, because they have to find a way first to monetize what we create. So they're going to monetize and make it seem like they created and say these were the first YouTubers and podcasters.
Right, as if they had the successful formula. However, meanwhile, we was over here winging it. Out here winging shit and it's like, throw it up. Is it stuck? Great. All right, that works. That works. But I feel you on that, kid. My father still to this day is be like, so who exactly does write your check? Is it YouTube? Right. Who exactly is YouTube?
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get it.
I get all of those same questions too, and I answer them and then they forget. But they know that I'm not calling them and asking them for money. So that's, I feel like, fact. That's good enough.
So I was like, bro, like, we ain't homeless. Yeah. We definitely ain't homeless. Right.
In fact, I pitch in. Every now and then I might actually, you know, help out where I can, or
that's
give
what
you
I'm
a
talking
nice
about.
Gift or something.
Right. There you go. Like,
oh, okay, nigga, you're good.
All right. Yeah. So today we're gonna do something a little fun. Our producers, we're trying to rock their brains to figure out what can we do that's fun with Code Fury.
I'm nervous though.
Are you nervous?
Yes, because Denora and Tribble put this together, so we have no idea.
Yeah, we don't know what the fuck's
kid,
about to
we have
happen,
no
kid.
Idea what.
So
what
excuse
these questions
us
are
in advance, because we don't really know what we're about to jump into. They decided to put together a fishbowl of questions for us to choose at random, and each of us will get a chance to answer if the question applies. Okay? And they might have been drinking over here. Now that I think about it, because my wine rack is looking very bare
right now.
So they might have been drinking. So I apologize in advance. We're not responsible for what's in this bowl right here.
All good. They asked me before if any question was off limits, and I said no.
All right now. So DeVal's going to go first, because chances are if we were at an actual game night in person, you and I would be on the same team, because clearly we dressed alike, and that was not planned, y'all. That was not planned. So I would have picked
even to the hat.
Down, I know, to the right? Hat, what is going on?
Down to the hat. So
I'm feeling set up.
I totally would have. Nah, I don't know what's in here. I promise you.
Well,
that.
Tribble said everybody got to answer the question. Isn't
that
right,
that
Tribble?
What it is?
Yes, whatever the question is,
so
everybody got to answer
it.
So it makes it fair. You trying to make teams already? Okay.
See, I was trying to make a team. I go for the strongest links.
Okay. All right,
so here we go. The first one.
I see these two be at home bored. Name a sexual position or fantasy that you will never try or do.
Ooh.
Position or fantasy?
Sexual position or fantasy that you would
so
never.
So I know I will never do, because my sexual partner won't let me do it. Because if it's a fantasy,
so
it's something
me on blast.
I'm asking. Is that what it is, Tribble?
A sex.
Okay, so boom.
I mean, it feels like it falls in line. Question.
Right, so boom. Here it goes. A sexual fantasy that I will never do. Again, will never do, because
now
you're
about to put me on Front Street.
I am about
kid.
To put you on Front Street. I would like to have a threesome.
Oh,
again,
boy.
But I know we can't do it now because we married. We did it in college. I'm gonna put it out there.
Blast.
I'm gonna put it out there. We did it in college. We did it in college.
Oh my God!
But
kid,
we were not
kid,
married at that
this?
Time. So now that we married, Kadeen completely put the kibosh on that. So I know it's never gonna happen again.
Well, damn! I'm blushing, guys. Can you see me blushing?
Don't Whew. Blush.
All right.
I was actually thinking threesomes for around the same reason. I feel like, but I totally get that though. Like, I feel like that's something, especially if I find my person and I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
Like prior to like lifelong, like when we're early on and we're kind of like getting to know each other and like experimenting together, I could see like getting that out of our system. And when it's locked down, it's locked fuck down.
That is it.
Use your memory and your imagination.
Exactly. We can recall the time, we can reminisce.
Right.
On that time we had, but then again, no.
Reminisce, I mean, so no,
with me, I don't know if there's a fantasy. Yes, I'm with y'all on the threesome thing, but in terms of a position, I just know that there's a entryway that I just rather not entertain anymore. So, yeah.
One where I have no choice.
He said, one where I have no choice. Yo, kid is wild.
That's just what it is. I'm just it's
kid,
exit only.
She completely put the kibosh on that, too.
Yeah, I
we
just
tried
can't.
It. We tried it, I think, one time when you was drunk. And even in her drunkness, she was like,
sobered up real quick. I was like, listen, bro. Like, nah, I just, That's just one hole that will not entertain you.
You just want to throw it away? Just
threw the question away. All right, I'll pick now. And I'll
feel
read.
You.
You know.
He said he feel you too.
It's just one of them things, bro.
There's a whole other one right there.
I mean, you know what I mean? You got options.
But I like that one. You got options. That one.
All right, so then we lit. We agree on that.
Exactly.
We agree on that. There we go. Shit. Tell us an embarrassing shitting or farting story. DeVal got one.
Yo, what is going on with y'all? Yo. What is wrong with y'all?
This team of ours.
Yeah, y'all crazy.
You listen.
Y'all want me to go first?
I have two.
You got two?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You have two stories?
You the guest, so go ahead.
I have a shitting one and a farting one.
Oh, great. Go ahead. So,
the shitting one I may have talked about on my podcast before, but it was like, I think I was in first grade, and I like, it was just terrible Miami-Dade County public school lunch. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like cheap pizza and chocolate milk.
Sounds like, yeah.
And my stomach was like, oh, you got me fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Dairy and a just acidic like, pizza dough.
I literally had to call my mom off work to come in and like, bring you clothes.
Man.
Or whatever. It was a nightmare. And then the farting one, unfortunately, was as an adult. I was just gassy on a flight from LA to New York, but I was also like asleep. But like my farts kept waking me up. And at one point, like the fart that woke me up, like I just woke up and I saw the woman sitting next to me, who was like a young Black girl, sitting next to me was like cracking up. Like, I think at that point I had been ripping them for probably a while, but I woke up to like her just like losing it, and I didn't even apologize. Like, what do you want me to do?
At that
but
point, you know what?
That
it
was
is.
Embarrassing.
You ain't got nowhere to go.
Yeah,
you
ain't got
right,
nowhere
you
to go.
You have nowhere to go. You can't even exit at that point. You're just stuck.
Yeah.
That's oh my god.
You guys, I mean, it didn't smell bad, but it was just loud. Bad.
Sometimes the sound effects are worse than the smell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Man, I got it. Well, you want to go with your shitting story first?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'll go then.
I went first last time.
So I was on my way to Long Island to do makeup for a wedding, right? And got up that morning. And with me, sometimes it's like a hit or miss thing when it comes to coffee. Coffee can sometimes like send me all the way to the toilet or I'm fine, right? So this particular morning, coming off of like a night of having like mad food, like my grandmother came and cooked, so I had like oxtail rice and peas, this, that. Normally in the morning, mm-hmm. I'll get up and I'll poop and I'll be on my merry way. This particular morning, there was no poop. Fine. So I'm on my way to this client's house, and I am about maybe 20 minutes shy of reaching her house, and I'm feeling it kick in. And it's kicking into the point where it's just like, damn, like I'm turtle heading at this point now, right? Turtle heading to the point where I'm like, I may not last the 20 minutes. But then I also felt like it was one of them shits that was gonna come from like my spine, right? So I was like, if I go to this girl's house and shit at her house and like say there's like a toilet issue or it doesn't flush properly, then I'm gonna be mad embarrassed, right? So I'm about 10 minutes out. And I'm like, I can't do this no more. So I'm in my mom's car. My mom be having mad shit in her car, right? So I pull over on the side of the highway. And it was kind of on a bend where I exited, right? So I pulled over and I'm like searching the back of her car or whatever. So I found a gallon-sized Ziploc bag.
I am ashamed.
I found a gallon-sized Ziploc bag.
I am ashamed.
And she had some like random like shit in it. So I was like, I'm about to shit in it. So I turned the Ziploc bag out, went to the side of the car, opened the passenger door,
I'm ashamed.
I pulled my pants down and I shit in the Ziploc bag, okay?
This is the woman I married, y'all.
But I did not.
It's the woman I married.
I did not think, oh, I'm about to shit. I need tissue at the same time, right? I can't believe I'm telling y'all this.
Yo.
So at this point now, I'm frantic because I took a shit in the Ziploc bag. And then now I'm like, I got to wipe myself. Like, I can't go to this person's house with a shitty ass crack, right?
Nah, you can't.
I can't.
You're going to be itching and stinking.
It's going to be itching and stinking. And I'm going to be there doing makeup for like 6 people. So, of course, I look at my mom's car. And of all the shit she got in there, there's no tissue. So a bitch took her sock off. And I wiped my ass with my sock.
Yo. Yo, you a savage, yo. You a my wife is a savage.
I don't think I've ever You've never told me
you wiped your ass with a sock, bro.
I wiped my ass with a sock. Took off my other sock for a second wipe because, you know, you can't just wipe one time. And I just put everything in the Ziploc bag and I threw it into the bushes. And then I went on my merry way. But the relief that I felt after that.
Yo, I've never heard this whole story.
The relief that I felt after that.
I've never heard this whole story.
Was second to none. Y'all don't understand.
I gotta say, quick thinking. You know what I'm saying? What I mean? Like, I actually commend. That was quick on your
talk
feet,
about being in ass. Being in a pinch. Yeah, I was in a pinch. So all was well.
You got the job done.
That I got the job done.
No, I did. I
took a shit. I felt better. I got to her house. I felt like a legit 10 pounds lighter. And of course, I washed my hands and all that good stuff. So don't worry about that part. Washed my hands and all that, and it was on my merry way.
Okay, shitty.
Sorry, y'all. That was, we were getting real, like.
Yeah, they learned a lot about you in these first two questions. Had a threesome in college, and now you're just shitting on the side of the road, wiping your ass with socks. What is going on?
I'm just imagining the poor person that's cleaning the side of the highway. Yo! That comes up to this bush.
Yo!
I'm glad that, like, what? Really? Did you put the sock in the bag?
I figured I might as well contain everything and just like, because then I was like, how am I going to like take a bag of shit back in the car with me and then ride with it somewhere? Like, what does that look like?
That was bad. That was bad, Kay.
I'm sorry, guys. That was bad.
I'm not ashamed of you. I'm in tears. I think you did what you needed to.
I had to do what I had to do.
You did what you needed to do.
Because the other option was take a shit at her house and clog her toilet or shit on myself and just not do the job. So.
You got the money, though. You got to the bag, baby.
I did get to the bag.
It was a shitty bag, but you got to the bag.
By way of a bag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, well, at least, I mean, your story, you were a child, Kay. You know, you were in a pinch. My story, I was a grown-ass adult. I had just got to the Lions. I was going there for my tryout, and I was nervous. So my stomach was, like, rumbling. Like, I'm, like, sweating, like, rumbling. So the coach is up there talking and giving his speech about, oh, you could be a part of the Lions. Everybody's rah-rah. My stomach is killing me. So in the middle of the speech, I'm like, yo, can I go to the bathroom? So he's just like, yeah. So I run to the bathroom and I pick the toilet, right? I go and pick in the toilet. I go to sit down on the toilet and I realize that there's no toilet bowl cover. So now I'm turtle heading like Kay described. I'm turtle heading, right? And I go to put the toilet paper cover on there. And when I go to sit down, it falls in the toilet. So now you know how when you're about to go to the bathroom, it gets closer and closer and closer. So now it's like about to come out. I turn around to get another piece of the toilet paper cover. And when I turn to put it down on the toilet paper, explosion all over the door, all over the toilet paper holder. It's like just shit everywhere, son. And I'm like, oh, because I'm like, yo, like I'm at the Lions facility. Like this is my dream and there's shit all over the thing. So then I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to start cleaning it up, right? So then I hear people about to come into the bathroom. So I just leave and I go into the next stall. So I go into the next stall and I finish using the bathroom, right? And I hear, you know, I'm just like, you know, I'm like, hear people going to the stall. So then I come out the stall and the dude, it goes, and he's like, yo! So then I didn't know what to do. So I just act like I was shocked like he was. So when he opened it, I was like, yo! Who did that, son? And he didn't think it was me because he just seen me come out this door. So I was like, yo, this
an
is...
actor.
Yo, straight acting, bro. So then he's an like, actor. Yo, these rookies come in here. And I'm like, these fucking... That's disgusting. Whoever did that has no self-respect. This is wrong. I was like, you want me to go get somebody? He's like, yeah, go get the janitor. So I ran, got the janitor. And I made sure the janitor knew it was not me. And then they was in there and cleaning up. And then I just went back into the meeting. And it was just kind of like... But there was like a shit tie dye all over the door.
See, at least I contained my shit in a Ziploc bag. You had shit smeared all over these people.
And
these
you know them nervous, the nervous well, shits.
Both of y'all
be,
are wild.
Them nervous shits be they just be coming.
This question away too.
Yeah, that question. Y'all messed up for that.
I would have never thought like.
It's like they knew that you would humiliate yourself.
That's what they want to do.
Ourselves? I'm
it
sure
can't get
did.
No more worse than shitty and threesomes in college.
Let's I mean, see. Listen. At this rate.
Never say never.
True or false? The size of the hands tell you about the size of the penis. I wouldn't know. Because I don't shake hands and then look at penises. That would be a woman question.
I look at penises in.
So then you can answer this question.
Through pants and stuff like that, but it's hard to get like a gauge. I mean, I haven't seen many penises in my life, unfortunately, to be able to tell. But I don't know. What do you think, kid? Is that true or false?
I've never taken the time to give a damn. No. I like a little surprise.
To compare the two, right? You know, like,
right. Like, first of all, that just scientifically can't be accurate. But like,
you never know.
I don't necessarily know that I want to be like, oh, this must mean that. Save something for the imagination. Be surprised. Mm-hmm. You know, find out what you're going to get when you get it.
Right.
Like, why you got to do all the measuring versus hands and stuff like that? And then you have a nigga with like King Kong hands and like a Toy Story penis. And then you're like all mad at what, the internet?
Right? Are you mad at like the old wives' tale? Then you set yourself up disappointed. Right. And then what does that look like? Like a King Kong hand, like holding a Toy Story penis. That must be a little off-putting too. I mean, I'll just like gauge looking at, like, you know, when gray sweats pants season comes in and, you know, you kind of like give a look.
Do you compare hands to penis though?
No, I wouldn't say I do that too. And then it's kind of like a false equivalency at that point because it's like a penis in sweatpants just walking around versus like an erect penis, like two different things. You know what I mean? Some people are growers.
Oh, that's not true.
Some people are growers. And some people are just like, what, swellers? I don't know. What category does that go into?
I don't know. I think people would look at me weird if I was giving people my ideas on the plethora of penises. That's not my category.
That's just not your forte.
That's not my forte. Yeah. Like, I don't meet men and be like, hey, nice handshake. Let me see what you got.
What about like in the locker room or whatever? Like, was there ever like somebody that you walk past and you're just like, whoa, but.
Well, no, I mean,
I wouldn't expect him to have that.
Even if you did in passing, like in a locker room setting, I don't think a nigga would be like, but his hands.
That's a perfect
look
example.
Look at the hands for comparison.
That's a perfect like, example.
Right.
You never see a man, because in a locker room, of course, dudes be naked in the locker room. Mm-hmm. But like you said, you never look at a dude and see his penis and then be like, let me see if his hands match. That's just because if you're a Peter Gazer in the locker room, don't nobody like a Peter Gazer. Like, nobody just wants you staring at my penis.
Not to stare, but say, for example, just because you've been in the locker room with men, for example, naked, has there ever been somebody that you're just like, whoa, I didn't expect for him to like have that? You know what I mean? Like, either him have like a really large penis or like a
That's a completely different question. But,
if you did, feel that way, what would it be based on? Hands, right. Attitude.
Right. Or just like the size of the guy, or like a shorter guy having a bigger dick versus like a really big dude that you thought would have a big dick and he don't. Like,
so here's,
you know?
Here's the truth. As a heterosexual man, when you walk into the locker room, you're not even looking to compare penises. Mm-hmm. That's not even my thing. Like, I'm not into penises. So I legitimately don't walk around saying like, let me see who's, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But as a homosexual man, it's also like not, there's not like a I would say if anything that I can think of, if there's anything that you might like attribute size to in terms of presentation outside of nudity, it might be like big dick energy. Like, there just may be an energy that you get from someone that's like, that nigga act like he has a huge dick. Like,
right.
Sex, we talk about that all the time. We even talk about that with Denora all the time.
Like, it's just a confidence that he exudes, that it's just like he thinks he's all that because he knows he has a big dick.
Yeah.
That type shit.
But even that, you never know.
I was about to say, because Donald Trump exudes someone who thinks he has a big dick, but we ain't gonna know. But then sometimes you like, oh, I ain't got a little dick because he just, because, you know, little man complex.
True.
Little man complex, but then you got big dick energy. Sometimes they, you know, they're not mutually exclusive.
That's true. And then people, you know, just be saying? Delusional as fuck too. So it's just like, man, like, you must think you be packing.
There it is.
Because I know some of my girlfriends have said that they've been let down from somebody who they thought was talking all the talk, that they had all this stuff. And then they got to doing the do and they've been severely disappointed. So don't set yourself up a disappointment. That's the lesson here.
Don't look at hands. That's the disappointment. Don't look at hands.
Hands are for shaking, okay? Have you ever thought a friend's kid was ugly?
I'm not answering this question. Y'all niggas going, y'all trying to mess up friendships. Y'all gonna mess up friendships.
Okay, so maybe not. Can we alter it a bit and just say, like, have you seen a child that you thought was ugly, maybe?
That's not what the question is. You have to answer the question.
luckily my friends are cute, so I don't want to say that. I don't think I've had any friends whose kids are ugly. I mean, you know, sometimes in that newborn phase, the kids might look a little like alienish, or like, you know, when they have to kind of grow into their self, they look kind of really, really skinny, slim, so they have to kind of plump up a bit. So, you know,
I feel like it takes a baby like 3 months to cook.
To cook like, outside the womb, to like settle into their real space. Nice. So I mean, so that means that you asked, which one of your friends got an ugly baby?
That's not what the question asked. They didn't say which one. They asked ever thought. So this is my thing. I don't think everybody is attractive. I don't.
Sure.
Right?
Babies and humans. I mean, and adults.
Yeah, I don't think every human I see is attractive.
Right.
So when people who I don't think are attractive mate with other people who I don't think are attractive, and then they have babies, you know, I'm not the type of person that's going to be like, oh, I'm going to just be like,
I'm glad the baby's healthy.
Yeah,
I've
you have never been there before.
I've known two unattractive people to have really cute babies. It's true. And I don't know how.
It's true.
And I feel like maybe they don't stay cute. Like, I think once they like hit puberty or whatever, it's like, oh, there it is. But like sometimes things like,
oh, there it is. Like, it's surfacing. Now
you ugly look like motherfuckers. But like, I don't think I have friends that have kids I don't think are cute, but I have known people that I would not call friends that have had kids that I don't think are cute. But kid, I don't blame kid the just child said for that, what it's worth.
You don't blame the child. Thank you. You don't blame the child. That's kid the just said he don't hang out with ugly people though. If you ugly,
that's a fact. You're not gonna hang out with ugly people. So yes, I wouldn't. They wouldn't really roll in those circles. But I do agree with you, kid. I've seen some people, like even just in pageant days when I used to compete back in the day, I would see a girl on stage, like beautiful girl, and then you see her parents, and you're just like, whoa, how did they make her? A and B, is that gonna be her future? I mean, that shit could be scary for somebody. You know what I mean? So I would tread lightly if I was somebody pursuing, like they say, show me the person's mother, show me the person's father. That might be an indicator of what you have to look forward to decades from now.
I'll also say this though. Unattractiveness also comes with facial expressions. If people, like some people walk around with like a scowl, you know, like they just, you know, it's like, what the fuck your face look like that for? You know, they just Botox. Mean, you know, just mean scowl and they just look ugly. And then you see their kids and their kids smile. And then you're like, oh, you know, you look, you know.
And like facial expressions and the way that you choose to hold your face.
Yes.
Is genetic. Like that passes down. It's not your kids will hold their face the same way you choose to. I don't know why. So like if you make an ugly face, there's a chance your kid will do.
That is true. That is what because when one of my aunts-in-law was pregnant, she was not the most pleasant person to be around. She just always seemed really unhappy. She was like always scowling and everyone would just like, you know, smile. And she'll be like, you know, and then the baby came out looking just like her, scowling the entire time. And it was like, I remember my grandmother saying, Lord of his mercy, we have to go smile for this baby. Smile for this baby. Because it's like, now the baby's out. Let's hope that the energy transfers from us smiling to her.
You're
going to
have your whole family wondering who you talk about right now.
They know.
See,
they know. She grown now, but she's not.
Going to hell.
They know the truth.
Next question.
It is what it is.
You going to hell.
It is what it is. So, kid, what happened that one time you got way too drunk or high?
How long can we do the show today? Okay, lately? All right. So, the last time I was drunk high, for whatever reason, I was like, I want to tweet something really positive and inspirational. Mm. And I tried to do that, but apparently it sounded very morbid because I was just like, life is short and it's very hard. Push through. You got it. I don't remember what the fuck
Mad
I was
profound
talking about
because
I was blasted.
Right.
But I thought like, yeah, I've touched someone today. And then I got like 6 back-to-back calls from friends and family that were like, are you okay? I got text messages from like coworkers, peers, people I'm inspired by that were like, you mean so much to the community. Don't do it. We love you so much. And I was And I'm drunk off my ass and like, what? Why is everybody calling me? And finally I realized that everybody thought that I like tweeted a suicide note.
Oh, are you kidding me? I missed that one. Is it still up or did you delete it?
This was like 3 weeks ago.
I was going to say, is it still there? I got to go see what this note is.
How long ago was this happening? Yeah, like, yesterday.
Kid, we love you.
They're still calling me. They're still calling me now.
Don't mock yourself. We love you.
Usually when I'm like really fucked up, I either like say a joke that's stupid or I fight or I scream help uncontrollably.
I love that. So this one time, Deval and I
knew he was going to tell this story.
Which, about the brownie?
Yes.
Okay.
I knew it.
So, you know, I'm not like heavy on like the smoking part of it, but just like give me a little something that I can eat and, you know, partake in and I'll do it, right? So this one particular time we were at a friend's house and this particular friend and her husband, they have 5 children, right? Mm-hmm. And we had our 3 boys at the house. So we're chilling, we're barbecuing, having a good time, whatever, whatever. So, you know, our friend goes and just like, yo, I got this brownie though. I got this brownie. So I was like, oh, okay. So I kid you not, the piece of the brownie was like,
it was little.
Mad little. It was like little. Small, like this, little. You know? So I was like, oh, okay, whatever, no big deal. So Deval and I both took a piece of the brownie.
Both of us took a piece.
I should have known something was up when they didn't eat the brownie. It was they just gave it to us. So it was almost like some experimental shit that it was just like, oh, I'm gonna see how fucked up I can get these niggas over here. Because so yo, we ate the brownie and me being like, I was like, ate that brownie, bodied it. Brownie ain't do shit. I'm good.
Mad
like,
confident. I was mad just confident.
Like, I was like, Deval, get your weight up. Because I saw at one point his eyes looked a little glossy or whatever. I was like, yo, get your weight up.
So I was smoking the pen before that. I was smoking, and that's how we ended up getting to the brownie. Because I was like, man, this pen really ain't doing nothing for me. And he was like, I got something a little more. Then he went and got the brownie.
So I see he's a little glossy or whatever. I was like, don't worry, babe. I got you tonight. If anything, I'll drive home. You know, enjoy yourself. You know, I got the kids. So then we proceeded to go into the backyard just to kind of get some fresh air. And Deval and I were literally sitting side by side alongside each other, like shoulder to shoulder, like hands in our laps. And then all of a sudden, everything just was like moving in slow motion. So imagine eight kids at one time on a deck. Mommy, daddy,
why do you look like that?
Everything was in like slow motion and it was dragged out. And I remember my friend saying, are you okay? Like, yo, it was just I was in some sort of trance.
I could hear my heartbeat. I thought I was going to die. Right. I could hear my heartbeat coming out of my chest.
Yes.
So I was like, I got to go lay down. Me and Kay went to go lay down and I took the brownie first and then, no, you took the brownie first. Mm-hmm. You took the brownie first and then I took the brownie. We go to lay down and then finally we get up and we're like, yo, we got to drive the kids
home,
back home.
And it was like a panic for a second, but then I was
like,
I was
still high though.
But then I was convincing myself like, oh, I'm good. Like, I'm good. I was like, this shit is mental. Like, you can't give me no brownie and think that's going to take me out all night. I was like, I'm good. So.
And listen, we do not condone driving under the influence or while intoxicated.
Yes,
we have to say that.
We have to say that. For anybody trying to show up to take my children.
But we had 3 kids and we had to get back home.
Exactly. And this was like at least 2 hours later because we slept and everything. And I got up and I was like, I'm good. So let's go.
We get in the car, kid. And I kid you not, Kadeen thought she was moving. She's like, I'm going to get us home, right? she thought she was moving, right? We on the highway. Right. And she's like, she's blinking a lot. And she's like, mm-hmm. She's like, I'm going straight. Right. Deval, I'm going straight. Right. I'm going straight. Right. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. She's like, I'm going the speed limit. Right. She was going 15 miles per hour, kid. 15. But I was so afraid that I was just like, yeah, babe, you go on the speed limit. She didn't go no faster. It took us forever to get home. And she in the middle lane because she don't want to draw no attention, doing 15 miles per hour on the highway. Cars is flying by us, honking. And she's like, why they honking? I'm like, baby, don't worry about them. Focus. Focus. She drove straight 15 miles per hour from there all the way home.
And in my mind, I was completely fine. But I guess like that mind over matter shit did not apply in this.
And I ain't want to alert her.
Because if I was mad calm, he was like, you got this, baby. You got this. So I thought I was good because I was like, here he is telling me I'm good. I feel like I'm good. And I just was not good, apparently.
But you drove 15 miles per hour.
And prayed the entire way. Like, Lord, I will never eat another brownie from these people ever again.
And that's please the last time. Yeah. That's the last time we ever, ever did an edible, yo.
Yeah. What was your wackest sexual experience?
My wackest sexual experience. Let
me think. I got one. And this is in... this is in no way to be racially divisive, but I don't understand why you're laughing, but I had sex with a white girl and it was like porn, because she was just doing a lot of like groaning and saying things, but it just wasn't like hitting the way she expected it to hit. You know, it was just like a lot of, Yeah. and I was kind of
that
like,
was the soundtrack.
Yeah, it was like, oh, fuck me, yeah, fuck my pussy, yeah. And it was kind of turning me off. Like it was, you know how it you was. Have to sex somebody and it's turning you off. So I know for a fact that I wasn't even like hitting it like that because I was turned off. But she was like, oh yeah. And I was just like, all right, I'm done. So I ended up like faking like a orgasm. I was like, oh, okay, gotta go. And I got out of there. And I was like, yeah, that might be the last time I ever do anything like that. Like that's just. And I'm not trying to be racially divisive, but this is why.
That was like your one girl, white girl experience.
That was, yes. Or okay. I was kind of like, I'm good with this.
Like, you're good with.
I'm gonna stick
sex with white girls.
Yes, I'm gonna stick with my women of color. Because it's just a little bit more there, you know.
Got
a little
you.
Bit more spice.
Got you.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
More authentic.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It was more authentic.
Yeah.
Also, like the cheekage wasn't there.
She didn't have like the over ass. Like
I like when the ass hit the lower back when you hit it and it'd be like splack right. Splack it. It wasn't there. there was no splack it. So
there was no splack it.
When she bent over, it was just like two hip bones in my pelvis. That didn't feel good either. So I was kind of like, damn, I can't do the no ass thing.
That was a whole turn off. But she thought she was doing it though.
She did, but I tried it because my homeboy's in college was like, yo, if you fuck a girl with no ass, you get more. You get to feel more. Because, you know, chicks that got ass, sometimes they ass just be blocking
you. Oh, it's
like
restrictive? Okay. Right.
So because I had asked. Now, this is funny. The funny thing is the whole conversation happened in the locker room, right? The white boys was asking us, like, man, how do you like these girls with these, you know, these big butts, like these black girls, these big butts? And I was just like, what do you mean? And they were just like, yeah, you know,
right.
It's just too much. You know, I'd rather have a little tight butt, you know. And I was like, why? And it's like, you get more, you get to feel more. So I ain't gonna lie. I was young. I was like, I want to try and see what they what they're talking about. It just was not for me. Like, I like the split it.
See, Tim,
like
this is why our food tastes good. It's just a different thing over you know, here. It's just like, we just do things different.
All
and
the
it's
way
okay
different.
That we do
you know
things
saying?
Different. And oh, how the white tables have turned. Because how many white boys still say that?
That's a fact.
See, they don't say that no more because you
that,
see
huh?
them now. You see them now. Like,
because
in college, we're talking about 2003. Dang, I was 18 years
That's
ago.
What I was about to say. Like,
that's 18
that
years
like
ago.
2001, 2003, 2004 vibe. That's like that early New Line Cinema.
You're right. That's
era.
When Cameron Diaz was. Remember Cameron Diaz was the most beautiful woman. Angelina Jolie.
Oh, right.
Was, you know, one of the most.
And real thin girls.
Real thin girls. That's what Jennifer
into.
Aniston.
Yeah.
That's what they were into. It's not like that no more.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. fuck me.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever had like a super whack one. I think that probably the wackest experience once was the first thing comes to mind was like after a night at the club with an ex of mine, I was mad at the nigga for some reason and still decided to have sex. And so I sort of just let it happen while hating him the whole time and also sort of like faked it.
Right.
And then, you know, the nigga didn't want to leave.
Oh,
I think I was
right. So you just opened up the door
just
for
young
like more
and like refused to be like, no, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah. I hear you. I don't think I've had a whack sexual experience. I mean, probably the wackest one I've ever had was like just losing my virginity. To think about that, like nobody, like neither of us knew what the hell we were doing, and it was just awkward. I was 16. So it was just like that awkwardness of like, first of all, running through your mind, should I even be doing this? Oh my God, my mom is probably at the door. Like, there's just so many things that go through your head. You feel guilty. You feel like I should be waiting for marriage. I'm like, I'm gonna go to hell. And then being conflicted with like, but I really like this guy, and then he don't really know what he's doing, and he's nervous. So that was probably the wackest one. I'm sure most people who've had their, you know, losing virginity stories have probably been like, that shit was like the worst.
Yeah.
But like an actual adult experience,
my virginity story was pretty whack too. But it also makes me think, like, now as an adult, I wish it would have been with a more mature, older woman who knew what she was doing, so I knew what I was doing. Right. I had no clue what I was doing. I had just watched a bunch of porn. And
it was just like, oh, there goes that.
My cousins told me what to do.
Your cousins?
My cousins told me what to do. Older, they told me what to do, and then it was over in about, I say, about 26 seconds.
Damn.
So that first time you get up in there, boy, boy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then, a whole new world.
It is a whole new world. You like, wow. Wow.
This is what black people use to cure all illnesses and diseases.
Ginger ale.
Tussin.
Robitussin. That was my second one. Tussin. Robitussin.
I was going to say Saltine or Vicks.
Vicks, Saltine crackers, The Price is Right. Ginger ale and Robitussin. Pack.
There we go.
You can cure anything
with
that.
That's a fact. And if you're a Jamaican or from a West Indian household, you could throw some bush tea in there.
Bush
some
tea.
Bush tea, mint tea.
Little eucalyptus and honey.
There you go.
Your
and mother, some Dettol.
Your mother with the eucalyptus. Was that the eucalyptus
the
oil?
The eucalyptus oil.
So we had COVID earlier in the year. You know what her mother had us doing? Sniffing eucalyptus oil over hot
steaming
water
pot.
And lemon peels. And orange peels.
Yep.
It worked though.
My mom and God, you know, thank God, I don't believe COVID even touched my parents' doorstep at any time.
That's
and
what's up.
Every time I would call them, my mother is in the kitchen boiling some herbs and spices or whatever,
see?
And breathing it and putting your head over
the towel. You come up there sweating like a whole. Listen, after that, I started doing like pore extractions. I was like, this is a whole facial in one. You might as well take advantage of the time.
I believe all of that shit works.
Yeah, that's a fact. Oh, my goodness. All right, kids. So you're going to stick around with us. We're going to take a quick break, get into some listener letters after we pay some bills. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, y'all. Losing two loved ones in a matter of 6 months, it can be a lot. And a lot of times, when you're dealing with grief, you have a lot to get off your chest with your family.
That's absolutely right. You know, people carry around all different types of stresses, big and small. When you keep them bottled up, it can start to affect you negatively.
And therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to kind of figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down.
If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first visit. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/deadass. You may be aware that most people who are black have O blood type. O is commonly needed for emergencies and life-saving measures. But did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? You, along with the American Red Cross, regardless of your blood type, can help by donating blood. Every day, our blood saves lives and eases the pain for those living with sickle cell. When you donate blood, there is a direct, positive impact within our community. Right now, there is great need for blood donations in the African American community. Every donation counts and makes a difference in someone's life. Donate blood at Red Cross to help save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs classic clogs and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, You can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Let's say I'm trying to lurk on you, you know, see what you're doing and who you're doing it with. I can stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of weird. You do that?
Not anymore. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages, so no public feeds. And the money is immediately available to use with Apple Pay.
Babe, did you just send me a dollar on Apple Cash?
I just said our cash isn't content. Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
All right, so we back, and I have a quick question about listener letters.
What's that?
Y'all do listener letters on y'all show, right?
Yep, every week.
Because somebody said to me, yo, y'all should change your name for listener letters because y'all stole that from The Read. And I was like, well, we ain't try to steal nothing from The Read.
Did
we
you
just...
guys coin that?
I swear, y'all got some like fans.
The letters from the listeners. It's not like a creative. That's what I said. Like, what the fuck?
They said, come
Why
up with another
call
name.
Something else?
She's right, like, it's... be creative. Come up with something different. You stole that.
Well, and bitch, give us a suggestion then, if that's the case.
I don't know what to
right.
call it.
Like, well, what do you want us,
what
to, call
you want
it
us to call it?
Sweetness.
Oh, my God.
I just want to make it clear, since we have Kid on here, emails. That Kid, there's no, that, there's that no love lost between us and the Lord. Read that we stole listener letters.
All right.
Right. Like, y'all call it The Readings or some dumb shit. Like,
that actually would be
funny.
That's
literally what they are. That,
right, exactly.
Talking about this listener letter here is
listen,
a book.
And we be asking for listeners. They send us, like, listener, like, chapters, okay?
Oh, yes.
Because we at one time said, you know what, guys, give us some more context. And now they're, like, giving us the whole song and dance.
You want me to read it?
Go for the first one, yeah.
I bet. First and foremost, I love your family videos, and this podcast has become my new guilty pleasure. Thank you so much. I adore watching you all. It gives me hope that falling in love with your best friend is real and can happen. I would like to remain anonymous, so you shall, if you can, to protect my identity. Oh, gosh, I wonder what's happening here. Last year, I lost the love of my life. She was separated, and one day she left me, and she ended up choosing to be with another woman, not her wife. She told me after a birthday trip we took for my birthday. We got back from the trip, and the next day she was a stranger. She told me she needed time to reevaluate things. A week later, I received devastating news that I am HSV-1 and HSV-2 positive. I immediately revealed the news to her. She was tested, and then a week later she found out she was also positive. She didn't tell a soul. I looked up every person I had ever had relations with, male and female. There was also one person there's only one person I'd ever had sex with that I'd actually saw something in their genitals, and they denied it when I reached out. I hadn't slept with that person in years, and no breakouts or nothing. As per my OBGYN, it is common for this virus to live dormant in your body up, and 60% of people in the world have it and have no symptoms or outbreaks. It is only contagious if you have relations. During an outbreak, I felt my life was over, lost my best friend, the love of my life, and my outlook on life. I attempted suicide. Oh, man, come on, shorty. And started therapy to try to cope. I just couldn't see past my life after that call from the doc and losing the strongest romantic connection of my life. This woman was my best friend, and now we are nothing. Now I have guilt because the new girl is not aware of my ex-girlfriend status, and it eats me up because that's not right, and that's how I ended up in this predicament. Someone didn't tell me, and one sexual encounter and changed my life. I made a choice to always share my status, even though the other person may not want anything to do with me after that. Yes, it's terrifying dating with this STD, and it has a large stigmatized image attached to the diagnosis. I literally have nightmares about the truth being revealed. What if the girl tries to hurt me or my ex's family? When is too soon to reveal that I have it, or too late? Any advice you would help?
I'm confused for a second. So she she was with this girl. it's got STD from her, and now the girl has moved on. With a new person.
Right.
And she doesn't know if the girl told the new person that she has the STD.
And she pretty much doesn't know when is the right time to tell new people in her life. She hasn't told, okay. She's moved on as well, but she hasn't told the new girl in her life.
Oh, and she, well, I thought she said she was upfront with people and tell them, even if it means that they won't be with her.
She says she would like to be.
Oh.
But she says she's this new girl is new. So mm-hmm. when is the right time to tell people? And when is the right time? Hmm. Or when is the right time?
Any advice for her kid?
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I think that prior to you having sex, the right time is when you're ready. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think it's something, like, I think that some people, I believe, who have certain, like, STIs or whatever, and know that they're stigmatized for it or whatever, they kind of feel like when they start dating someone, it needs to be like date one information.
Right.
Like, you need to come out of the box and be like, this is a thing, because it might be a deal breaker, or so I want to get it out of the way now. And I don't know that that's necessarily mm-hmm. true. I've never had that conversation with anyone, and I can think of as ever directly had the conversation with me. So I'm really working off of like how I feel like I would feel an assumption,
right.
but mm-hmm. I personally feel like it isn't necessarily owed to me when we start dating, you know
right.
what I mean? But obviously if you're going to have sex, it should be a conversation that you have prior to that.
Yeah. I guess the fear would be that you are dating someone, you don't disclose it, you go on a couple dates, you guys are really feeling each other, and then it gets to the point where you do feel like you want to then have sexual relations with somebody, and then you have to lay that news on there. So it's almost like a setup for disappointment, possibly. Or do you feel like you're wasting your mm-hmm. time?
I feel like, okay, when you're dating someone, right, that doesn't automatically mean you're going to have sex.
Right.
So I'm not going right. to disclose my personal business to someone who I don't even know if I like enough to
right.
to have my personal business. So date one,
exactly.
some people will probably say, okay, date one, you realize you like this person. If you continue to go on dates with them and you don't tell them, and then it gets to the sex part, now you've wasted their time if they chose that they don't want to move forward on dating because you have this STD or STI. So for me, it's like, you damned if you do, you damned if you don't. But you get one life. As long as you're exactly. clear mm-hmm. with someone when you're ready, like Kid said, when you're ready, mm-hmm. I think that's the most important. And as long as you don't put someone in danger by having sex without disclosing beforehand,
right?
That's cool.
Because that takes away the choice. Everyone should have a choice.
There's no right or wrong time.
Yeah.
You know, there's no right or wrong time. It's when you're ready. It's your mm-hmm. body. As long mm-hmm. as you don't put no one in danger.
Okay.
So I agree right. with you, Kid. I agree.
You're not really wasting anybody's time by, you know, disclosing that prior to sex whenever
right.
that time
right.
comes.
Right.
Because you can go on four great dates, and then before you go to have sex, you find out that, like, they don't pay child support, or their house is roach
right.
infested.
Right. Like, that is true.
Some other reason that you don't want
to. Or they have big hands before, and their so. Print is small. Like, you know, something like that.
The funny thing is, that's a great perspective that we don't often think about, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you think about STDs or STIs, it's like, you got to tell right away because you could be wasting somebody's time. But he just brought up a good point. You may have gone on 4 and 5 or 6 dates, go to their house and realize they fucking dirty and decided, I don't want to have sex with this person.
Right.
And it had nothing to do with an STD.
That's a fact.
Like, we decide mm-hmm. whether or not we want to not have sex with someone for so many reasons.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just say that this is the only reason that's going to matter. So that's a good perspective I never even thought about.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you, sis.
Yeah.
All right now.
Yeah.
Number 2. And last but not least, absolutely love you guys and the influence you guys have on your audience, especially during these times. Thank you so
Thanks.
Much. My boyfriend and I have been together for 2 years. He is about to be 30 and I'm 27. He has 3 children before we met. I have not graduated college yet, still pursuing, but I do work for the New York City Department of Education and make very good money to pay for my own car, travel,
DOE.
And help my mom out. He does not have a college degree, jumps from job to job, and has no skill set for budgeting and saving money. So, of course, that means I've been paying for a majority of everything we do and eat. we speak about marriage and having children, but I'm hesitant because he was not specific or has no specific goal to do anything as his career is concerned. I don't necessarily want to walk away because we have grown this connection as him being my best friend. I see the potential of the relationship and the sex is bomb.
That's what it is. That's why the nigga got three kids.
I understand he has to focus on his kids first, but when will he finally stabilize himself to start building a steady life with me? I can't keep paying at the register while he hugs me from behind.
That's hilarious.
Dick to bomb. The dick to bomb. Dick to bomb. That's what that is. Is she just dickmatized?
So the answer to when is he going to do that is never.
Never. I'm about to say, like, what? Right. She knows the answer is.
Right.
He isn't. Especially, but, like, why would when he has women in his life that will cover all his bases for him. And all he has to do is fuck you and hug you from the back when y'all are at Target. Like, that doesn't. Like, why would he do anything differently? All he has to do is have sex with you. Yeah, I mean, I feel like niggas in these types of positions, usually if they get their shit together at all, it's because, like, they have to sort of, like, make the decision, whether by falling on their face or just facing some other obstacle in life where they kind of have no other choice but to, like, get their shit together and change their way of thinking. But you sitting back and waiting for that day is a disservice to your damn self, because A, it's not promised. So you might just end up old and resentful and have this nigga's fourth and fifth and sixth kids, and he's still jumping around from job to job, and then you mad at yourself and him.
That's like, a fact.
No, she's gonna and be mad. World. She's gonna be mad at herself, him, and every other nigga, because that That's always fact. Happens.
And
That's a, mm-hmm. You knew what it was. You still fucking with him, but then after that, it's gonna be niggas ain't shit.
Right,
men ain't shit.
Because it's like, look how you built yourself up, sis. You're like, okay, you have a job, you can pay for your money, your travel, this, that. He has no degree. Jumps from job to job, no skill set for budgeting, doesn't save money, can't save money because he don't make money. So it's usually with these list of letters, I feel like they kind of map everything out to just say the obvious. Like, girl.
Yeah, they just want the affirmation never. From us of what they know they want to do. Because mm-hmm. they all map out all the bad stuff and say, I know that I should, but if you want me to sit here and tell you, no, girl, fight for it, because nah, he's showing you who he is. People, not just niggas, people who are enabled are going to continue to do and show bad behavior.
Absolutely.
Because they're enabled.
Yeah.
And that is what it is.
Because why not? Yes. Why not just sit, like, back and chill when all my bases are covered and I don't have to do anything but drop some dick off? You know
that
what I mean?
That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Literally that.
Well.
I mean, all you're going to do is sit back and waste your time.
That's a fact. That is a whole fact. Well, if you want to be featured as one of our listener letters, keep writing in, keep emailing us, and just know that listener letters was not copyrighted and coined by Kid Fury and Crystal at the Read, because we're just getting letters from our listeners, and we love y'all and we appreciate it. So continue to email us at
deadass. We don't have property.
That's a fact. Continue to email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
Yes, that's deadassadvice @gmail.com.
All right. So to close out this show, Kid, we do a moment of truth. Moment of truth time. What's some parting words you'd like to leave us with? Typically, it's about whatever the show topic was about. You just kind of have that final note or that final thought or that final piece of advice. I mean, we've got to Kiki. We laughed about shits and farts and dick sizes and all sorts of stuff. So is there anything that you'd like to leave us with as your moment of truth?
I was going to say shit happens. And it happens anywhere, at any time, in any position, in any bag. No, I guess just all I really want to say is I love you guys, and you guys consistently inspired me, and I'm glad that I got a chance to do this. I'm sure Crystal would have loved to do it as well if she wasn't going to school every second of every day of her life these days.
Oh my goodness, she was definitely missed, but we enjoyed having you thoroughly.
Yes,
we were glad to have you too, just as glad as I was to have that gallon size Ziploc bag. So
how much did you eat? That had to be a huge shit.
I told you my grandmother cooked. She made oxtail, rice and peas. I had cabbage. I had fried plantain. I had mad stuff. That morning she made ackee and sawfish. She made some fried dumplings. So
you see?
It was just a plethora of things in my system.
Hot. You see?
That's a fact.
You see, kid?
It was it was a little spicy too. Steamy. A little pepper. And the
y'all both
it just
nasty.
It just was not a vibe, y'all. But like like Kid said, shit happens. What matters is how you deal with the shit in that moment. Are you able to overcome the shitty moments?
Yes.
That's what matters.
Shitty survivors.
There we go.
Yes.
Would you have a moment of truth, babe?
My moment of truth is that I learned real early that when you're hitting it from the back and her ass don't hit her lower back and go clack it, clack it, clack it, that ain't it for she me, ain't. Man.
She ain't the one.
She got to eat oxtail, rice and peas, jerk chicken.
All that good stuff.
That's how you get that all that back there.
Fried dumpling.
Thick. Thicker than a fried dumpling.
We live.
But seriously, my moment of truth is it's fun to live in your truth, yo. Like, absolutely. When you can talk about the things in your life and not be ashamed of who you are and what you've done, it's freeing and it's fun.
Facts.
It's fun. Like, this is
I think true. That's one thing we all have in common that's, here today,
yeah,
right?
We all have, we just, not ashamed of who we are, yo.
That just is. It is what it is.
I mean, my podcast is called The Read and your podcast is called Dead Air.
I know, right?
I think it's very obvious.
Yes.
Like,
then we don't
shame,
give a shit.
We live in our truth over here.
That's the whole fact. Well, Kid, make sure, like I said, if anybody was like completely under a rock or comatose for the past couple of years, where can they find you? Where can they find everything that you have going on?
Oh, man. Our podcast is called The Read, and that is R-E-A-D-E. And I think the Instagram and socials are This Is The Read on Instagram and Twitter and stuff.
Yes.
And my shit is KIDFURY. Good luck finding me actually being active on social
you
media.
Not,
I checked
your
page. You have like days, you have like one post on your page. I was like, Kid, what you did? You deleted everything.
Yes. I'm in a season
I feel
right
it.
Now where I'm just chilling.
I understand.
And just observing. I'm keeping my head
like
low
it.
And working and just trying to like
I
encourage
like
all the people I fuck with.
We need moments like that.
Hopefully I'll come up above ground some other day.
Okay, now it's about to be springtime. It's about to be springtime. Well, it's always, as always, it's good to sit down and chat with you. I'm hoping and praying that the next time we do this, it can be in person.
Facts.
Or even when we're in New York, if we can link up for a vibe, you know what I mean? Get together, have a drink and all that good stuff and just chill. So I'm looking forward to that.
I might be coming
moment.
West very soon.
Well, you know that we're south now. We're in Georgia.
Oh, are you?
Yes, we
are
in Georgia.
So we're
back. Oh, I know.
East.
Y'all always bouncing around. You have 8 homes across the planet because you work on every country.
That's what it
feels
like.
We're going to be here, though.
This is home base now. This is home base. So if you're ever in the ATL area, give us a shout and pull up. You are always welcome.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm always down there.
Oh,
too.
Good. Yes. Good, good. I cannot wait. All right. Sounds good. Well, be sure to follow us on social media. You know where to find us, Dead Ass the Podcast. And you can find me at Kadeen I Am.
And I am Deval. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Deadass, baby.
Deadass.
And follow The Read if you haven't been yet, all right?
Definitely.
Tell your auntie, tell your friend, tell your mama, all that good stuff.
Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
You know that I feel like it's important to express yourself. You got to put your true self out there. And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do that.
That's right. Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know it doesn't get any more comfortable than the Croc clogs and sandals. They are just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
You may have heard that most people who are black have O blood type. O is commonly needed for emergencies, but did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? Regardless of blood type, every day our blood saves lives and eases the pain of those living with sickle cell. Donate blood at Red Cross to help us save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
It's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock. One at Flatiron Plaza in New York City and one at Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. With giveaways dropping every hour on the hour, it's a perfect time to try, like, and share Black-led products. It's free for everyone, and it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black-led products that are creating a new world of choices at Walmart. Trust, you don't want to miss it.